Mem Dalet Amid Beis, the last line. We've understood that according to Ula, if a ketana receives kiddushin shelo midas aviha, then nothing happened. Even miyun she doesn't need. Masiv Rav Kahana, the kasha of Rav Kahana, based on the Mishnah at the beginning of Masechet Yevamos, the Mishnah establishes v'kulon. There are 15 arayos that are mentioned, enumerated in that Mishnah, and the law is potros es tzorosehen minayibum uminachalitza. For example, let's say that a woman marries her father's brother, her uncle, and if he dies without children, then she falls to Yibum to her father. And the halacha is that, of course, she is outside the purview of Yibum or Chalitza, because there cannot be Zika to a Bas, from a father to his own daughter. And not only that, if she has a Tzara, meaning there was another woman married to the same person, so let's say they're two brothers, we'll give it names. We have Yaakov and Esav, we'll call it. And she's Leah Bas Yaakov, and she marries Esav. Now, when Esav dies, childless, she falls for Yibum, Leah falls for Yibum to Yaakov, her father. And let's say that Esav had another wife. He was married not only to Leah, but also to another woman named Rachel. That's called Tzaras Erva. And she, too, is exempt from the parasha of Yibum and Chalitza. However, what happens if the relationship, the marriage relationship between Leah and Esav terminated before Esav died? In Mesu, any one of these Arayos, again in the case of Bas, her husband died. I'm sorry, if she, the Bas, preceded her husband, meaning Leah died before Esav died, so then at the time that Esav died, Rachel fell for Yibum. In other words, there was Yibum to Rachel, and she's no longer the Tzara of a Bas. Oh, Me'anu. Or let's say Leah was Mima'enes in her husband, again before he died. Onis Garshu, or she received a get before he died. Oh, Shenimtu Islandis. We found out that Leah's an islandess. That's called Kedushay Tos, and it means the Kedushin to Leah is Batil Amafreya. In all these cases, at the time that the Baal dies, and his wife falls for Yibum, and at that moment in time, she is no longer Tzara of an Erva, Tzara Sem Mutaros, and therefore there's a mitzvah of Yibum to the Tzara. So Rav Kahana now clarifies the kasha that he was asking. One of these 15 arayos we mentioned is Bas. And how was she married to the brother, and she died, or she was Mema'enes, or she received a get, etc., before her husband died? And the answer is, the Kitchaman, who married this girl off to her uncle, right, to her father's brother, Elam the Kitchavia, if her father was Makadish her, to this, again, because we're talking about Kiddushe Miun, so we must be talking about a Ketana, if her father married her off, is B'miyun Sagila, that Kedusha would be Kedushay Torah. And how could she break that marriage through Miyun? Miyun only works for Kedushay Drabbanon. get Ma'alya Baya. There's no way that she can get divorced through Miyun without a get. So what does it mean? Mianu. What's the case of Mianu? Elolav, the Kitcha e Nafsha. By passive elimination, it must be a case where she, Leah, married herself off to Esav on her own, without the knowledge of her father, Ukitani, and yet the Mishnah says the Bayamiyun, that in order for her to break up that marriage relationship, she needs Miyun, she needs to be Ma'enes. So again, here's a case where even though the father himself did not marry her off, because that's impossible, because then a get would be required to break up the issues, nevertheless, she was Mekadish herself, Shalom Midas Avi, and she needs Miyun. And that contradicts the principle of Ula, because Ula had formulated the principle that if a Ketana receives Kedushin Shalom Midas Avi, she doesn't need Miyun. So the Gemara says, Hu Mosif Lav Hu Mefarik Lav. Rav Kahana was the one who raised the question, and now he answers it. What's the case in the Mishnah? Kigon Shenasa La Maisa Yisoma Bechai Aviha. What was the case? The case was that even though her father is alive, when her father marries her off to someone else, let's say not to Esav, first in what we call stage number one, her father married her off to Yankel Beryl, whoever it was, and he died, or he gave her get, while she was still a Ketana. And when her father married her off to that guy, that Yankel Beryl that we called him, there was not only Erisin, but there was also Nisuin. And with Nisuin, she, the Ketana, leaves the Rishus of her father. Her father can no longer be considered the Yad, or the Das Machte for Kedushin. And basically, she now has the status of Yisoma. She's in her own Rishus. Now, again, she's a Ketana, so if she receives Kedushin, Shalom Idas Havia, that Kedushin could not possibly be Doraisa, because her Das is not recognized by the Torah, it's not valid. But nevertheless, the Din of Yisoma is such that she can marry herself off, at least for Kedushin Drabbanon, that lend themselves to Miyun. Now, the classical case of a Yisoma is just that. A Yisoma means she's a Ketana and her father died. And in such a case, the Chachomim were metaken that she could get married. Kidei shelo yinag ba minag hefker. That's a sugi nivomis kufyud beis. And in this case here, even though her father's alive, but once he married her off with Kedushin and subsequently she had Nisuin, she doesn't need the father, of course. She left her father's Rishus. The question is, when the Chachamim were Mesaken Kiddushin Drabonon for a Yisoma, that Kiddush Drabonon is contingent on the fact that Achia o Ima, that one of the members of her family, married her off. Here, in this case, it would seem that the Ishus Drabbanon that can be effectuated when the Ketana receives Kedushin does not depend upon Acheha O Ima, but rather she herself could receive that Kedushin. I'm not sure if all the Rishonim agree with that, but that's definitely the impression you get from Rashi. So be that as it may, what we have here is an answer to Rav Kahana's original question. The Mishnah in Yevamos is talking about a girl who, a Ketana, was married off by her father to so-and-so, and there was Nisuin, she's out of the Rishus of her father, then it was Gerushin to so-and-so, now she accepts Kedushin on her own to the second Mekadesh, she dies after she made Miyun, or before she made Miyun, And if it was before she made Miyun, and she was married off to her uncle, her father's brother, then obviously there's a halacha of Erva here. If, on the other hand, she was Mima'enes before her husband died, then Hatzara will fall for you. Masiv Rav Hemnuna. And now we're at the very, very last piece in Daf Memdalid Amud Beis, the Kasha of Rav Hemnuna. And he quotes a brisa. Ein lemochra lekrovim, according to the Tanakama, when a father has the right to sell his daughter as an omevria, he doesn't have rights to sell her to one of her relatives, because included in amahus is the possibility of yud, of marriage, and here, since it's one of the krovim, and ein kedusha tosin be'erva, there's no possibility of marriage. And if you just isolate the element of amahus as a kinyan mamon, and it's completely mufka, it's completely divorced from the possibility of yud, of marriage, then according to Tanakama, this brisa, that's not within the purview. The father does not have the authority to sell her in that way as an omavriya to one of her krovim. But mishum Rabbi Elazar, omru mokra likrovim, she can be sold by her father as an oma, even to one of her relatives. Oh. And it means that according to Rabbi Elazar, the dimension of mamon in the mechiras ama on the part of the father is enough to stand on its own 2 feet, completely independent of the dimension of ishus and marriage. Then the brisa says v'shavin. There's one situation in which Chachamim and Rabbi Elazar share the same view. Shemochra almana l'kohen gadol grusha v'chalutza l'kohen hedget, that the father could sell her to someone who would be usur be'isolav to marry her. So in that sense, there would be no possibility of yud in this amhus because the isolav. But it's not an isur erva, and therefore kedushin tofsin bechayvei lavin. The two cases given here in the brisa are almana l'kohen gadol and grusha v'chalutza l'kohen hedget. Now, the Gemara wants to analyze what's the scenario of almana. Hai almana echidami. How exactly were the original nesuin chal such that now, when she became an almana, husband died, the father would sell her and could sell her to a kohen gadol? Ilema de kitsha avia. If the father was makabel kiddushin, from which she became an almana, is mi matzi mazbinlo. What's the havamina to say that the father can now sell her after she became an almana? Ha eino de mocher es bito l'shivchus achar ishus. This is a sugi we had earlier in the first perek, that once a father is makabel kedushin on behalf of his daughter, that's called ishus. He cannot, he forfeits irreversibly his rights to sell her as a shivcha. A father cannot sell his daughter as an omavriya. Once he has already been mekadesh her, you know, it's the accepted kedushin on behalf, elo lav, then by process of elimination, and this is going to be the question of Rav Hemnuna, the case is the kidsha ihi nafsha, that she had gone out and accepted kedushin on her own without her father's das, and her husband died, and now she goes back into the rishus of her father, and he could sell her as a shivcha zanomivriya even to a kohen gadol. Is Kakari la almana, the brisa classifies her as an almana, meaning that the Kiddushin in which she accepted Kiddushin herself without Tasvia is valid. And if that be the case, she would need a get, or at least a miyun, from that marriage. In this case, her husband died, she became an almana. And this contradicts the Shita of Ula, that a ketana who went out and accepted Kiddush Shalom Midas Aviyah doesn't even need miyun, that we don't recognize such a marriage at all. And the Gemara defends Ula with the teretz of Amram Yitzchak, Hacha B'Kiddushe Yud. What we're talking about is that the father sold his daughter as an Amma, and then she, the Amma, received Kiddushin B'Atzma without Yediyas Ha'av. I'm sorry. Again, if she would be Mekabel Kiddushin Shalom Midas Atzma, then Ula's right, she would not even need Miyun. But Hacha, but here, is B'Kiddushe Yud. And the case is that after the father sold her as an Amma, then the Adon who purchased her as a Shivcha, as an Amma Vriya, decided that he would be Miyayed her, and he would offer her Kiddushin, and later on he died. In such a case, can the father now sell her a second time as an Amma Vriya? In other words, with her almanus, when her husband died, does she now re-enter the house and the reshus of her father, giving the father the rights to sell her as an Amma a second time? Again, now she'd be an almanus. If he sells her to a Kohen Gadol, that would be a violation of a lav, but nevertheless, there could be shivchus with a chayve lavin, with kedushin tovsimba. And we had a machlokas tanoim back on Daf Yud Ches Amid Beis, whether or not a father could sell his daughter for shivchus after shivchus, a second shivchus. And Rabbi Akiva was of the opinion that he, the father, could sell her a second time around. And our Braisa, the Gemara assumes, could reflect the shita of Rabbi Akiva. That's Rav Amram's answer to defend the Ula. And now, what happens is, the father can sell her a second time. But this shita of Rabbi Akiva, which would allow the father to sell her a second time, shivchus achas shivchus, would only make sense if we accept the shita of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. Aliba to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, the Omar Mos, Rishonus, Lav L'Kiddushin Nitnu. It means that when the Adon buys the Amma and gives the money over to her father, the father does not accept that money as Kiddushin, as Kesef Kiddushin, but rather at the point in which the Adon who purchased the Amma decided that he wants to marry her, he has to give her new money out of pocket. And if that be the case, since the father never accepted Kesef Kiddushin, that Kesef was designated for Shivchus and only for Shivchus. Therefore, we hold like Rabbi Akiva, Yesh Shivchus Liachar Shivchus, and the father could sell his daughter as an Omivri a second time around. Even though in this particular scenario, there was Yud, and she, the Bas, was married to the first Adon, and then he died, and now her status is that of an almana, but nevertheless the father still have rights to sell her again, and he can sell her, according to everybody, whether it's Chachom or Rabbi Lazar, to a Kohen Gadol. So even though Eino de Mocher is Bito Liachar Ishus, here in this case, since Mos Rishonos, Lav L'Kiddushin Nitnu, therefore, the father never was Moser, his daughter, for Yishus, and therefore he still has rights to sell her as an Omer Vriya. Now the Gemara goes back to Rav. Rav was the one who said that if a Ketana receives Kiddushin Shalom Midas Aviyah, she'll need both a Get and Miyun. And now Rav is going to analyze some of the repercussions of this halacha. For example, let's say that she, the bas, received kedushin, shalom idas aviha, and now the Mekadesh dies, and she falls for Yibum in front of his brother. Again, even though the Mekadesh, the late brother, was Mekadesh without the Das of Aviyah, but if until he died, there was Echshash, according to Rav, that maybe the father agreed to that Kedushin, and therefore the Kedushin is valid. Now, when her husband dies, she falls for Yibum to his brother. Correct? Now, again, it wasn't as if Rav came to the conclusion that definitely the father was Misratze, was Maskim to the Kedushin, and therefore it's Ishus Gomur, Bevados, Doraisa. No. Rav required both a get and miyun, meaning there's an unknown element here. There's a suffix. Did the father agree to this Kedushin? Did he not? So when we talk about now the possibilities that could exist if the husband dies after implementing a suffix kedushin, we could talk about, number one, the possibility that in the kedushay rishon, when he first married her, the father was misratza. He wasn't interested in the second kedushin, but he was interested in the first kedushin. We could talk about the fact that maybe the father would now agree to the second kedushin. Because again, what happened is that she went ahead and she was Makabel Kedushin Shalomidas Aviha, and now she falls for Yibum when her husband dies. And perhaps the Yavam was Makadish her second time. And now we don't know if the father was Misratz to the second Kedushin. Maybe he wasn't interested in the first Kedushin. That's the late brother, but he was interested in the Kedushin of the second brother. We can talk about the possibility that the father agreed to both Kedushin. We can talk about the possibility that he wasn't Misratz to either of the Kedushin. So this is what Rav is going to say. Itmar. Mace. Again, we'll call him Ruvain. Ruvain married this girl, this Katana, Shalomidas Avir. And now Ruvain dies. Nafla lifnei achiv liyibum. There were no children from the first husband, and now she falls to Shimon for Yibum, the brother of Ruvain. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. Rav Huna says in the name of Rav that if the Yavam, now we'll call him Shimon, does Maimar, he does an act of Kiddushin, how does she get out of that marriage? By virtue of the Maimar of Shimon, Mima Enes Lima Moro, but Eino Mima Enes Lizikoso, which means the following. For her to get out of the marriage to Shimon, she needs Miun, because the Maimar that he did. And this Maimar sets up a situation where she needs Miun, because she needs to be Makabel a get to be Mafkia the Kedushay Maimar. And the Mela, she needs Miun as well. So what we're basically saying here is, so Rav's point is that since it's quite possible that the father was unhappy with the first marriage, but he was happy with the second marriage, well, perhaps he was happy with both marriages, but at least he was happy and he gave his approval to the second marriage, she's going to definitely need a get, because of the possibility, at least, that the father approved of the second marriage. Once she needs a get, then she also needs Maimar, because again, there's always a suffix here, and we don't know if the Kedushin are Vadai, or the Kedushin might not be Vadai, but if you remember the whole discussion that we had, since she's going to receive a get, there's a possibility that people will misinterpret this as being a get of Vadai, and therefore if he the Megarish now marries her sister, they would think that that's not valid at all. It's Achos Ishto. We're going to need Miyun in order to demonstrate that this get is only a get of Safek. The Ishus is only an Ishus of Safek. And if the second husband does not do Maimar, then Eino Mima'enes Lizikoso, then all she would need to be Mater herself from Shimon, from the Yavam, is Chalitza. Chalitza would cover all the bases. Ketzad. So now Rav describes in detail the scenario. Asar ba Maimar, this Yavam Shimon did Maimar, Tzricha get Utzricha Chalitza, Utzricha Miut. Miut. She's going to need three things. You know, until now we've been discussing two things, get and Miut. Now we have to add Chalitza. Tzricha Gita, Tzricha get, Shemon Isratza, Ab, Kedusha Sheni. If the father was happy and he proved the second Kedusha, she definitely needs to get. Tzricha chalitza, because another possibility, Shemen Esratza of B'kedushe Rishon, if the father approved of the marriage to Reuven, the late brother, now she falls to Yibum, to Shimon, and she definitely needs chalitza from Shimon in order to break up the Zikas Yibum from Reuven. Tzricha miyun, she needs miyun because Shemelo Nisratze Ha'av Lo B'Kedushe Rishon Lo B'Kedushe Sheni. There's a possibility that none of these marriages in cases A and B, meaning in Reuven and Shimon, where she accepted Kedushin on her own, are valid. And if neither of them are valid, and that's only a logical possibility, then we have the old Gzera of Yomru Ein Kedushin Tosin Bachosa. Since we need a get because of the possibility that there was a Sratzis of the Av in the second marriage, then ipso facto we're going to need Miun because there's always a possibility of a Lonis Ratz, and therefore the Kedushin to Shimon are not valid. Again, we have to add the point that the Kedushin Rishon, he didn't approve of either, so therefore there was no Nefilas Yibum, because she was never married to Reuven, the late brother. And now, if there was no Hisratzus after the second Kedushin on that side, then guess what? People see the get, and they're going to come to the mistaken conclusion that certainly the second Kedushin, the Kedushin of Shimon, are valid, and therefore if he, Shimon, now goes ahead and marries the daughter of, I'm sorry, the sister of this woman, people are going to say, Ein Kedushin Tosin Bachosa. That's Achos Grushasa. So therefore, in order to demonstrate, as we've discussed on many occasions, the fact that this Kedushin is only Kedushin Safek, she needs Miyun. Oh. Now Rav goes on to describe the second scenario of Eina Mima'enes Lizikoso, Lo Asa Ba Maimar. If the Yovam did not do a Maisa Kedushin of Maimar to this woman, is Eina Tzricha L'Chalitza Bilvat. All she needs to be mater herself to get married to anyone is Chalitza. She doesn't need Miyun. There's no problem. Why? Because my Amrit, what are you going to say? T-boy, Nami, Miyun. You want to say that she needs also Miyun in addition to Chalitza. And if that be the case, we're requiring Miyun because of the chashash of what? Somebody might say that Ein Kedushin Tosin Be'achos Chalutza. He says that doesn't make any sense. Correct? So what are you saying? You're worried that maybe the father was Nisratza to the first Kedushin of Reuven. Now she falls for even with the death of Reuven to Shimon. And there was no Maimar, all she needs is Chalitza. What are you going to tell me, that maybe we should require Miyun? Because if you don't require Miyun, then somebody might say, well, Ein Kedushin Tosin Be'achosa. And again, we don't know for sure that there was a Ritzui of the Av to the first Mekadesh to Reuven. So therefore, you're only being Choshesh for Achos Chalutza, but, you know, that would require a Chalitza plus Yibum, because otherwise people are going to say, well, there definitely was a valid Kedusha to Reuven, and now how can Reuven's brother, live brother, marry this woman, Asher's Reuven's sister? And the answer is Shema Yomru Ein Kedusha Tosva Chos HaKol Yodim Shachos Chalutza Dirabonon. Everybody knows that the Isur of Chos Chalutza is an Isur Dirabonon, and therefore Kedusha Natosim Ba Minat Torah. Nobody's going to be Mater Achosa Lelo Get. The Yomru Reish Lakish Kan Shana Rebbe, with regard to this Mishnah in Yevamos, Rebbe formulated the principle, Achos Grusha Midorais Achos Chalutza Midivrei Sofrim. The Isur of Achos Chalutza is only the Rabbanon, and therefore everybody would understand that Kedusha Natosin, there's no Shash, and the bottom line is that Chalitza is enough. The Gemara now tells us a story about a man who was Mekadesh an Ish on behalf of his son, without even conferring with his son. We've been discussing the Zchus of the father to marry off his daughter. Does he have any Zchus to marry off his son? That would only make sense if the son appointed the father as his Shliach. So here's the story. Hanu Beit Shrei, we're talking about two people, Dahava Kashasu Chamra. These are two fathers. One is the father of a son, the other is the father of a daughter. And they're drinking wine together. Tusei Tzipe de Bavel, under a certain kind of a willow tree in Bavel. Shakal Chad Minayu Kasa de Chamra. One of the two, in this case, the father of the, if I get this right, we'll see in a second, the father of the young man, takes a cup of wine, Yoiv Leil Chavri gives it to his friend, the father of the girl, V'yomar, and he declares, Mekatcha li bartich livri. I want you with this cuss that you accept to marry off your daughter to my son. And certainly the father of the daughter could do so, right, because we're talking about a ktana. But Amar Avina, with regard to the father of the groom of the Mekadesh, right? He says Ravina has no powers or rights to be Mekadesh a woman on behalf of his son without his son's knowledge. And Afila Mandiyomer, even according to Rav and Shmuel, that say in the case of Ketana Shekid Shalom Midas Avia, she needs to get Chayshin Shem and Yisratzel of, maybe the father will approve of the marriage when she accepted it from somebody else. That only applies to a bas who accepted Kiddush Shalom Midas Aviha, because it is quite feasible that the father might actually be excited and approve of this marriage. And it's Nichole. So therefore we have to worry about the possibility that it was Misrat Av and she needs a get and mir, as we discussed. But Shema Misrat Av Ben, to say that a father can receive Kesef Kiddushin on behalf of his son without his son's knowledge, and maybe the son, when he hears about the Shidduch, will be excited, Lo Amrina, that we don't say. In other words, in the case of a Ben, you know, he has to find his own wife, and his father cannot find a wife on his behalf. And we always assume that he's makpid, and he doesn't want to get married to any woman unless we know that he initiated the marriage. And therefore, we're not being choshesh that he was misratza. Amri lei Rabbanan l'Ravina. The Rabbanan heard this, and they asked Ravina v'dilma shliach shavyeh. Why aren't we worried about the possibility that the Ben, in fact, appointed his father as a shliach to mekabel kiddush to me, moser kiddush to me, no say kiddush on his behalf? His Gemara answers, lo chotzef inish l'shavuye l'avua shliach. It's a chutzpah for a son to appoint his father as a shliach to act as his agent on his behalf. I mean, the Achronimim ask many questions because we do find in the Torah various scenarios where a son actually sends his father to Mekadesh and Isha on his behalf. We see it in the case of Shechem ben Hamor, and there are other cases. So in each case, we have to somehow deflect that proof. The Gemara says, V'dilma artsuye artse kameh. Okay, you're saying it's a chutzpah to ask your father to be a shliach to mekabel kedusha on your behalf, but maybe the scenario was such that the son actually revealed his interest in marrying this girl in front of his father. He was Megaladas in front of his father, Shechafe Tubishas, who he's interested in this particular woman in this Shidduch. Now it becomes a schus for someone, in this case the father, to be Makabel Kedushin on his behalf, on behalf of the son. Because it's now Zochel Niodon. Amalei Rabba Bar Simi Beferish Omar Mar. I heard explicitly from Ravina de lo Savar Leha de Rav Ushmuel that he, Ravina, rejected the opinion of Rav and Shmuel that in the case of a ketana who accepts kedushin, Shalom Midas Avia, we're worried about the possibility that the father gives her approval. And therefore, we might, according to Rav and Shmuel, worry about the possibility that the son gave his approval for the marriage when his father accepted kedushin on his behalf. However, since Ravina says that in general we're not choshesh for an approval that comes later, we didn't hear that the father approved of the marriage that his daughter accepted, and therefore we're not going to apply this principle of, in the case of the father on behalf of his son, that maybe the son will be happy and approve of the kedushin. Therefore, there's no chashash kedushin. The Gemara now tells a story about a kedushin that was implemented biderech bizayon, in a sort of humiliating way. Let's see the case. Hahu gavra dekadish bechisha diyarkas obeshuka. Again, one thing I can tell you, he was mekadish a woman in the shuk. That itself is a little bit of a bizayon. But what's kshisha diyarka? Yarka usually is some sort of a yerek, a vegetable. What's kisha? Kisha is an aguda. Aguda means a group of vegetables. So he gives a group of vegetables to a woman in the middle of a marketplace, and he says, "Harat mekudeshesli with this with these vegetables." His Amar Ravina, Ravina says that this kedushin is not worth a dime. In the case of kedushin of a ketana shelo midas avia, we're afraid maybe the father approves. Hani mili der kovet. That's because the kedushin was done in a normal way. Avol derech bizayon. If the kedushin are implemented in a manner that is an absolute bizayon, then we're not going to be afraid of and think that maybe we should validate such a kedushin. Now, I'm sorry, I apologize, I forgot to mention one important point here, that the case that we're dealing with is the case of a bas ketana shelo midas avia. And according to Rav and Shmuel, in such a case, when she accepted kedushin shelo midas avia, we're afraid that maybe the father approves. But if she accepted kedushin in a way that is derech bizayon, it's a lack of kavod, and we're going to soon analyze why this is derech bizayon, then even Rav and Shmuel would agree that we're not going to even suspect the possibility that the father would give his approval to such a marriage. Amalei Rav Achami Difti Ravina bizayon to Mai. Exactly, how do you pinpoint this bizayon? E bizayon to Yarka, is it because he gave her Yerokos? I mean, that would be good for the Manishtana on Leil Pesach. Oh, bizayon de shuka, it was embarrassing or humiliating to her that he proposed marriage to her in the marketplace. What engenders this busha, this bizayon? Is it the hefta of the Erek, or is it the makom, the place where he gave it to her? And the Gemara says, my... Well, what difference does it make? At the end of the day, it's derech bizayon. Amalei idvi idi derech bizayon. He says that you want to say the nafkamina would be if, let's say, you had one element nafkamina the kodesh bekaspa bishuka. Let's say he gave her money, but in the shuk. Again, she's the ketana shlomi dasavia. Oh, bechisha diyarka bevesa. Or it wasn't in the shuk, it was in the privacy of a home, but he gave it yurakos. My, what's the din? Amole Ravina responded, idi ve'idi derech bizayin hu. One of these two elements alone is sufficient to establish that it's derech bizayin, and the father would certainly not give his approval to such a marriage. Another scenario of a ketana who accepted kiddush shelo midas of the Ahudi Omar lekrivai. If, let's say, you have a marriage situation, and the husband, who's also the father of this ketana, is interested in marrying off his daughter to one of his relatives, again, relatives without an Isar Erev, obviously, but his wife says, Lekreva, with a mapike, she wants to marry her off to her relatives. Kfate, somehow the mother, the wife, was able to persevere and so to speak, compel her husband to agree to marry off their daughter to one of her relatives. Ad Omar La to Hevi Lekreve. And finally, the father explicitly states and declares his agreement, let's marry off our daughter to your relatives, to my wife's relatives. And then they made a great banquet, and they invited all their relatives, and apparently there were relatives from both sides. Adi Ochli Vishasei, during the period of eating and drinking at this great festivity, and yet the Bas was not yet Miskacha, Osa Kreve Bi Igra, one of the relatives of the father, the husband, comes clandestinely through the Alias Habayis, Vikitcha. As he snuck into the attic, or the second floor where she was located, he was Makadisha. Is Omar Abaye, in such a case, since the father had already given his agreement to marry off his daughter, his katana, to the krovim of his wife, is Ksiv, the Pasuk says in Tzfanya Novi, She'eris Yisrael Yasu Avla V'lo Yedabru Kozov. This is like what we call Divrei Amana, that he had already given his approval to this marriage, and therefore he cannot rescind his approval, and therefore he cannot agree to marry off his daughter to his relatives. That's the way Abaye understands it. It's all an issue of living up to a commitment. Rava Amar, no. It's a different element. Yeah, he comes to the same conclusion, mind you, as Abai, but from a different angle. Chazok Eidolim Toreach B'Suda Mafsida, since the father organized this Suda in honor of this Shidduch, and he spent a lot of money, big bucks, and this whole Suda was meant to marry off, or at least Shidduchim of his daughter with a relative of his wife, he's not going to throw out the entire Suda, waste it away, and give his approval to the marriage of one of his relatives. What would be in a scenario where the father did not spend any money for the suda lechvod hashidduch, for we'll call it the lechayim, is according to Abai, the reason why she's not mekudeshes to his relative is because a person doesn't rescind his agreement. And that should apply even in this case where the father was not Torah, he didn't spend any money on the Suda. Whereas according to Rava, who establishes that we're not Choshesh, that the father agreed to marry, that she should be married off, the Bas Ketana, to one of his relatives because he spent all that money on the Suda. But here in this case, he wasn't Torah, but Suda. And therefore, we have to be worried that perhaps the father agreed to allow one of his relatives, which was again his initial interest here in this marriage, to his daughter. And therefore she's Mekudeshes Misafek. Now the Gemara deals with the following issue. A daughter who was married Lidas Avia, but she went ahead and she entered into the chuppah, into Nesuin, Shalom Lidas Avia. Bas Shen is Kajal Lidas Avia, V'holach Avia L'medina Sayam. The father is totally absent. He's not around. The Omda Veniseis, and now she enters into the Chuppah Shalom Midas Aviha. if the father would have been here, we could expect that he would either protest or at least tacitly agree and approve of the Nisuin. But if the father's way far away in Medina Sayam, then what do we do in such a case? Do we assume that this Nisuin is valid? Omar Rav says the following, that since the Kiddushin were effectuated by the father, in other words, he agreed, this is the man I want my daughter to be married to, then it's logical to assume that inherent in that agreement is also his agreement to nisuit, to give her over for the chuppah. And therefore, in such a case, if her husband is a kohen, ochelus betruma, we have no reason to suspect that this marriage, this nisuin, will be invalidated. And therefore, we can rely on the validity of this nisuin, of this chuppah, and she can eat truma. Because the halacha is that a bas Yisrael that gets married to a kohen, after nisuin, after chuppah, she can eat truma. Ad sheyavo aviyah v'yimcha. If, you know, again, we can rely on the assumption that the father would certainly agree to marry her off to this husband, meaning marry her off with chuppah. But if, in this very, shall we say, unusual scenario, what happened was the father came back from Medina Sayam and he starts yelling and screaming, I don't approve of this Nisuin, then in such a case, from now on she can't eat Truma. But again, that doesn't bother me, it doesn't bother me one iota, says Rav, if until this point she did eat Truma. Rav Asi Omar Eino Cheles, she cannot eat Truma. Maybe the father will come back from Medina Sayam, and lo and behold, he objects. V'nimtzeis zara ocheles v'truma l'mafreya. That this entire period of time that she's been eating truma, she's been doing so illegally. She has violated the Isra of Achilles truma. She's really still a zar, or a zara, I guess you'd say. Why? Because the chuppah was invalid, and you need the chuppah to allow her to eat the truma. And if the chuppah is invalid because the father comes back and he says, "Oh, I'm not interested," then l'mafreya, the chuppah was never valid. And now she's been eating truma. How can we allow such a situation to go on? Havi uvda, there was actually a scenario of this sort in which a ketana was married off l'das avia, and then she went ahead and she went into the chuppah shalomi das avia. V'chashle Rav l'hadar Rav Yasi, even though Rav himself was of the opinion that in such a case she, the daughter, can eat truma, but nevertheless, even though despite his opinion, he was choshesh for the sheet of Rav Asi and Lamaisa, even Rav instructed this woman not to eat truma. She's not allowed to eat the truma. Tosis, the Ramaskal Hava, is actually of the opinion that Rav changed his mind. He rescinded his own original point of view, and he paskened halacha kirav asi. Rabbeinu Tam, however, disagrees. He says Rav lo chazer bo, but halacha lemaisi was like Rav Asi because he was machmer on himself. And the poskim point out that halacha we can accept the opinion of Rav because he's the Rav of Rav Asi, and the halacha is always like Rav against Rav Asi. This makes sense according to Rabbeinu Tam, because Rabbeinu Tam holds that Rav was only machmir on himself, but he was a machmir on others, meaning he maintained steadfastly to his original view against that of Rav Asi. Then the Gemara has a different din, in the case again of a bas shekidsha l'das avia v'nisei shalomi das avia, kachal l'das, meaning l'das avia, v'nisei shalolidas, meaning shalolidas of, she never notified her father that she is entering into the chuppah. V'avia kan, this was not the case that we discussed at great length earlier, but now we're talking about a case where the father's here, he didn't ship off to Medina Sayam, and although he was not an active participant in the chuppah, the mesirah l'chuppah, but nevertheless, he was silent. So how do we interpret his silence? Rav Huna Omar is Eino Cheles Betruma, we cannot recognize this chuppah, this nisuin, because we didn't hear that the father gave his approval. Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba Amar, Ocheles, she can eat truma. We are afraid that despite the fact that she accepted, she went into the chuppah of the Nesu'in Shalom Midas Ahav, nevertheless the father was Misratza. As we said before, since the father gave her over to Kiddushin, to this particular Makadesh, the assumption is that he would agree, or there's already tacit agreement, that she should enter into Nesu'in with this man. And therefore, Rav Huna is going to say in this case that she can already eat. Rav Yirmiyahu Bar Abba will say in this case she could already eat Truma, and we assume that her father would be Misratza to this Nisuin. Now the Gemara wants to understand the reasoning of Rav Huna. Rav Huna, Amar Eino Cheles. Now, this Psak, this verdict or ruling of Rav Huna would make absolute sense according to Rav Asi. Of course, if you remember, Rav Asi's opinion was that a Bas Shanissa, when she went into the Nisuin, when her father was in Medina Sayam, he, Rav Asi, Paskin, that with Choshesh, that maybe the father would not approve of this Nisuin, and therefore we cannot allow it to eat Truma. Is how much more so in the case of Nisa Shalola Das Avio Vavio, he can, the father is here, and he doesn't express any sort of approval to this marriage. And when I say marriage, I mean to this chuppah, this nesu'in. Therefore, again, applying the principle of Rav Asi, we certainly have to assume that Eino Cheles B'Truma. That's if Rav Huna stands on the shoulders of Rav Asi. Oh, but what about Rav Shita? So the Gemara points out, Vafilu l'Rav di Omar Ocheles, Hosamu delo isei li'av. We don't expect the father to be actively involved in the chuppah because he's in Medina Sayam. Abel hocha di isei li'av. The father is right here under our nose, and nevertheless, he doesn't say a word. Is hai de ishtak. How do we interpret his silence? Is mirtas or mirtach rosach? He's absolutely ballistic and objects to this nesu'in, because otherwise, again, he's here in town. Why didn't he participate in the nesu'in? Bevadei lo isratza li'av, and therefore she doesn't have rights to eat truma. That's Rav Huna's opinion, and he claims that this is something that even Rav would maintain. Well, now the Gemara wants to analyze the reasoning of Rav Yirmiyahu Bar Abba. Why does she eat Truma? The answer is, Amar Al-Cheles Afilu Rav Asi. Even Rav Asi, who says in the case where she entered into Nisun Shalom Idas Avia because he was in Medina Sayam, Eino Cheles. We don't assume that when the father comes back, he's going to say, wow, that's great, I approve. But Hasam, that's only because of Shema Yovo Avia V'yimcha, we assume at least the logical possibility when the father gets back from Medina Sayam, he's going to make a Mecha, and he's going to say that she had no approval of mine to enter into Chuppah, into Nesu'in, and therefore any Truma that she ate will be an Iser of Zarus. Aval Hacha, but here in the case where the father is local, he knows about the Nesu'in, the Shasik, Is Nuche Isnecha Le. His Shtika, or shall we say the lack of Mecha itself, is circumstantial evidence that he's okay with the Nesu'in, and therefore Rav Yirmiyahu claims, which is exact opposite of Rav Huna. Rav Huna's opinion, his position was, well, the father is here, why is he saying nothing? And the answer is because he's Mirtach Rasach. He's absolutely opposed to her Nesu'in. But Rav Yirmiyahu says just the opposite. And that is that everybody would agree that in this case, he can eat Truma, because if the father was really opposed to the Nesu'in, he should have said something. I mean, he's right here, he's local, and he's Shosek, he's Shtika Kodo Adam. Now the Gemara gives another case of Kiddushin Shalom Midas Avia. Niskad Shalom Midas L'das Avia, V'Niseis Shalom L'das both the Kiddushin and the Nisuin were without the approval and the knowledge of her father, Vavia Khan, and her father is here, and he does nothing, no objection, is Rav Huna says that Ocheles Petruma, she can eat Truma. That this Chazaka, the father, would agree to whatever she did. Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba, again, he's a Talmud of Rav Huna, Omar ain't Ocheles. She cannot eat Truma. And the reason for that is we have to assume, or at least admit and recognize the possibility that our father would object to this marriage. Amar Ula, ha, de Rav Huna, the statement of Rav Huna, that she can eat truma, and we absolutely assume a chazaka that her father will be happy with this marriage, is l'shinayim kechometz l'shinayim vecha'oshan. This is really, Ula says, very painful to even contemplate this verdict, this opinion of Rav Huna, because, I mean, l'chora, we should certainly say that that there's a kal v'chomer to assume that this marriage is objectionable in the eyes of the father, and how could Rav Huna allow it eat truma? So it's kechometz l'shinayim v'cha'oshan le'inayim. It's like, you know, if you take sour vinegar, the taste in the shinayim is, I mean, just, it's painful. Or if you take smoke and it goes into someone's eyes, it's painful. Hashta uma hasam de kedushei do raisa. In the case of kedushin do raisa, midas ha'av, amrit, nevertheless, Rav Huna says, lo ochla, she should not eat truma, because it's very possible the father would object to the nesuin, hacha, here, with a very kedushin, which shaloli dasa via, lo kolshke, how much more so, should Rav Huna maintain the position of eina ochelas betruma? And the Gemara now answers, and here we're on the top of Memvav Amin Aleph. This is the final conclusion of Ula, is Nirim Divrei Talmud, meaning even though Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba is a Talmud of Rav Huna, we always pass on like the Rav and not like the Talmud, but here, since Rav Huna doesn't make any sense, we're going to pass on like his Talmud, that the Bas, who accepted Kedushin and Nesuin Shelo Midas Avia, should not be allowed to eat Truma. And now Rav is going to come to the rescue and try to make sense out of Rav Huna. My time of the Rav Huna, what was the logic of Rav Huna? Hol v'nasaba maisi yisoma b'chai of. Since the father is alive and well, and she went ahead in the lifetime of her father, and she was Mekabel's Kedushin, and she was Mekabel's Nesuin, Shalom Idaito. In other words, she's behaving as if she's a Yisoma, as if to say she's an orphan who doesn't have a father. She doesn't need the das of a father at all. She's totally independent. And yet, the father realizes this. He's aware of what's going on, and he shows sake. He doesn't say a word. What is the meaning of his silence? And that's where Rav Huna comes along and he says that in this case, we should logically conclude that he gave up on his chus, so to speak. He said to her, implicitly, go ahead and get married. And that's why he didn't make a mechoy, he didn't complain. Or alternatively, he was very happy with the marriage that she came up with that suitor and that groom. And in the depths of his heart, he had ratzon. And that's the principle of Shtika Koda. If, on the other hand, he married her off, Kedusha Midas Avia, then he wants to reserve his rights to give her over to Nisuin and approve of the Nisuin. She went ahead and did the Nisuin Shalom Midas Avia. The Shtika Sav doesn't prove a thing. It's very possible that he's upset, he's disappointed with what she went ahead and did without his approval. And she entered into Nisuin, and that's why he was Shosek. But here, where the Kedushin themselves were Shalom Midas Avia, his shtika seems to be indicative of the fact that, you know what, he's raising his hands, he's very reliant upon his daughter, and he says, you know what, go ahead and do what you have to do. And there's Askom and there's Ratzon, and therefore Rav Huna maintains that in such a case, she can eat Truma. Okay, Rabbosai, we'll stop here. And Amir Tzem Bli Neder tomorrow will do the sugya on Daf Mem Vav and Aleph, get down to the Mishnah, and then we'll learn the Mishnah, which we've already seen. It's been quoted in earlier sugyas. That should be B'siyat Lishmaya tomorrow.